I'm Fast Eddie,
and I'm Digital Dave.
That's good. We got it right.
And we have with us Mr. Curtis Petrick from the United States Air Force. And you guys are hiring?
We are.
I wouldn't think you'd have any trouble getting people to want to go Air Force.
Well, you know, to believe it or not, we hire both on the military side of the house and we hire on the civilian side of the house. And so one of the things for us in Air Force Material Command is the featured command. We are about 80% civilians. And so, I think there's a lot of people out there that don't realize how many civilians that we have in the Air Force as civilian airmen. And matter of fact, our 80% is about 41% of all the civilians in the Air Force. So as we're out here, you're going to see recruiting on the military side, but you're going to see recruiting on the civilian side. And so this is a great opportunity because you have people that are already interested in flying, and that's what we do in the Air Force.
So these guys obviously aren't flying combat missions, but they're doing logistics and all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's correct. And so one of the benefits of having civilians is all that behind-the-scenes stuff we can do, and it frees up our airmen to do those combat-type missions. And so what's unique about Air Force Material Command is that we are the ones that that we deliver systems for the entire Air Force. And not only do we deliver them, but through the life cycle of those systems, we provide the support to sustain them and to keep them operating, and the spare parts that need to go for that entire life cycle.
Okay. So you're talking about maintenance of machines, things like that. I'm wondering if you're flying toilet paper around.
Hey, that's important stuff.
Darn right it is.
No, we don't necessarily fly that around. So within Air Force Material Command, we do have aircraft that belong to us.
Okay.
But we're a little bit different than most other commands as far as the airplanes that belong to us, because our aircraft primarily are in test. And so when we bring on a new airframe, we start out with an idea. Somebody says, that's a good idea. Let's develop it. And so then as we develop it, we want to make sure that we do the proper testing before we go and buy in large scale quantities. So we have all the testing apparatus in Air Force. And matter of fact, the Air Force Test Pilot School belongs to Air Force Material Command.
I never knew that.
Me neither.
Now, you're not talking about combat aircraft at this point, though. You're talking more about transport aircraft.
No, I'm talking about all of them. So like the B-52 that you saw come in here yesterday, that's a test B-52. So we flew that out of Edwards.
You think they'd be done testing it by now.
Well, so even though the outsides of the airplane often look the same years after year after year, what makes those airplanes relevant is that we continue to redo the insides, new electronics, new capabilities, new radars, all those type things. And so as we bring those into the airplane, we got to have some way to test it to make sure it does what we want it to do and it integrates with those older systems that will still be in the airplane.
So is the career path to your type of pilot similar to the combat pilots?
It is. I mean, it absolutely is. So when we start out in the initial pilot training. So everybody goes through initial pilot training. Oftentimes what will happen is they'll go on to an individual system. They may go on to a transport. They may go to a fighter. At some point, they'll decide, hey, I would like to be a test pilot. And then they apply for test pilot school. And then just like any other school, we have a pretty stringent selection criteria. And then we select those test pilots. And then we make sure we have test pilots that cover all the gamut of airplanes that the Air Force flies.
That sounds pretty daunting.
Actually, it sounds like it's very interesting because you've got to have so many programs going all at the same time.
We do. And so, you know, you look back to the B-52, been around forever, and we're still testing it. We have the B-21 that's currently flying now, and that's being flown by test pilots from Air Force Material Command. We're looking at bringing on a new trainer, the T-7. That's being flown by test pilots from Air Force Material Command. So it's just the whole gamut. Any older system that's doing an upgrade, we're the ones that do the testing, and any new system, we're the ones that do the testing.
Interesting, interesting.
It could be. You know, it just sounds like you've got a lot going on. There's a lot of plates in the air at this point.
Well, there is, but so we are organized within our command, I think, to do it right. So within our command, we're about 88,000 people. And Air Force is structured with what we call major sub command or major subunits, which we call major commands, and we're the second largest of the major commands. The way we're set up is that we have what we call centers, and they're based on function. So I will have a center that does research. And so I get that little nugget of an idea that a warfighter wants and said, hey, can we develop this so that maybe it become a weapon system? And then I got those smart PhDs that work on that. At some point, we decide, hey, this will scratch the itch. And a warfighter says, hey, I want to go further. And then we'll make it a program, a record. And then I have two centers that concept is transferred over to them. And then they work to actually buy that system with the requirements the warfighter needs. So that's two of my centers. And then after we buy it, we have to test it, just like I said. So we have an entire center made up of testers. And then I have a large organization that sustains those weapon systems throughout their life cycle. And we have the large Air Force depots where we'll take those airplanes in and completely refurbish them. And then we got to put them at an Air Force base. And so we own the organizations that equip all the installations across the Air Force, make sure that they have all the services they need, make sure that they have the security they need, all those things to keep the lights on at the base.
So as a pilot for you guys, you could be doing all sorts of crazy things. You never know.
You can. You can. And if you're a member of the we call it the test center, the Air Force test center, this may be your primary aircraft, but as different things develop, you may transfer over to other aircraft and fly those as well.
Okay. I want to go learn to fly from you guys. Is it similar to a signing up to be in the Air Force?
Yeah.
I got to be 7 years and all this kind of stuff.
It is. So if you want to fly for us, if that's your end goal, you got to go through the initial pilot training. You probably have to go through some follow-on, develop your skill set in a follow-on aircraft. And then at that point, then you would apply for test pilot school. So we're looking for those people that are already seasoned, experienced, and have showed that they're pretty darn good flyers.
Okay. But so it's a similar career path to an active duty pilot, except for the military side, the boot camp and all that kind of training.
It is. It's the same career path, and then at some point you'll say, this is what I want to do.
Okay.
Well, what are the qualifications that you're looking for with people? If you wanted to apply, what are you looking for?
Strong arm muscles.
Well, so for let me just talk a little bit about on the civilian side of the house, since we have so many civilians. Our Air Force Sustainment Center is almost 40,000 people, and we have those huge depots where we bring the airplanes in and, like I said, strip them down. Well, in order to do that, we have to have electricians, we have to have, sheet metalists, fabricators, all those type of skills. So we can use those skills, right? On the other end of the spectrum, we have the Air Force Research Lab where half the center is probably PhDs, smart individuals. So we run the whole gamut of skill set, and all of them are equally important.
So you guys are also developing the request for bids on a new program, a new device, a new system.
We do. So we have the program offices for those new systems. They're the ones that develop the structure to bring the bids in, develop the structure on how we down select, and then end up actually selecting a particular contractor to develop a system for us.
Wow, that's huge.
It is.
That's an arm we'd never see.
It sounds very challenging, too.
Well, it is.
I can only imagine.
Well, systems integration and computers being what they are, you guys got to be up to your eyeballs in them.
Well, yeah.
So it is pretty challenging. One of the things that is very critical for us as we're bringing on new systems and trying to make sure they meet the requirements, and also to make sure that we're picking the right, you know, down select. So we have a large core of engineers in our command. We have maybe the most engineers in the Air Force that belong to Air Force Material Command, and they are part of those program offices that you know, they understand those requirements, they work those requirements, they refine those requirements, and when bids come in, they can, you know, they understand what that bid says and whether or not from an engineering perspective it'll meet what it says it's supposed to meet.
Do you guys also deal with unmanned systems?
We do.
Okay,
we
so do. Everything.
Everything. Wow. Yeah. So basically, if I had to put it in, you know, a couple short sentences, so we will develop things for the Air Force, and then we'll deliver it to the warfighter, and then once we deliver it, we'll sustain it and we'll support it. And so the whole supply chain, you know, once it's out to the warfighter, we're the ones that make sure that they get the equipment they need to keep those airplanes flying.
So they're the brains behind the thing that develops, well, comes up with all the ideas.
Not just the brains, but the service behind it too, because we all know everything breaks.
It does, and so, but it's a team effort, because all the other commands that those weapon systems go to, they have their own maintainers, but you know those maintainers are pretty good. But part of what they can do, it depends on the things that we provide them. You know, we have to provide them spare parts. We have to provide them equipment. We have to provide them tools. And so it's like a team effort between us and the maintainers there at the actual airfields.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Curtis Petrick of Air Force Material Command. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.